Hello, everybody, and welcome to Faster Masters Rowing Radio, where having a rowing coach only makes you better. Following a program gives you a true pathway to becoming a confident rower who's respected by your peers. You can become the athlete you want to row with. I'm Rebecca Caro, and as ever, I'm joined by Marlene Royal.
Hello, Rebecca, and hello to our Faster Masters Rowing Radio audience.
Excellent. And it's a growing audience, actually. It's one of the things I should probably put out in a little newsletter, but we get more listeners and downloads every month that goes by. So we're really grateful. Go you.
We're totally grateful because, you know, like everybody needs information. And I think when people have a chance to answer questions, ask questions, and we've been getting lots of emails about like, this was really cool. You talked about this and that. Like, we want to talk about everything rowing, everything masters, because, like, you know, we're all doing this together.
Yeah. And there's so much of it that kind of touches different parts of your lives. You think, well, you know, there'll be a bunch of people who are really into some topic and another bunch will be really into something completely different. And the nice thing is you kind of get those, I suppose, overlapping sort of like circles.
Definitely. Definitely.
Hello to our live watchers and viewers. Very nice to have you on board with us today. And let's kick off by firstly, very grateful thanks to all of our podcast supporters. You guys make this podcast possible. You can join them in making a donation at fastermastersrowing.com/podcast. So if you listen regularly and you get benefit from this, please considering joining in this group. Donations start from $1 a month. And we are extremely grateful because without you, this would not be as good as it is. That's the point, isn't it, really?
Yes. Yes. We need you. We used to say in rowing camp, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun if you weren't here.
That's true. How to run a camp with lots of coaches and no athletes.
Right. We'll have a good time, but it's better if you're here too. So
So quick reminder that if you are interested in learning about rigging for masters, we have an upcoming webinar. It's on the 6th of October, and you can get all of the details on the website, fastermastersrowing.com/rigging. This is a one-off event with three amazing special guests. And just for clarification, none of the material here is ever going to be included in any of our monthly subscription programs. So if you want to get rigging nailed, learn from the best, come along to the webinar. It is going to be recorded so you can buy it and watch it later. And because we have this backstage login area to the Faster Masters Rowing website, you get lifetime access to the recordings. They will always be there for you. So you create a login, you go into the learning area, and there are little icons for each of the programs that you buy. And if you bought the rigging webinar, it will always be there for you. This past week, what have you been up to, Marlene?
Well, I've been sort of, you know, on track with my local coaching. But one thing I did that was really fun this week is I took some people out to row in a double. And so it's, you know, we're kind of practicing in singles all the time. But I do have a double and conditions and situations were right to get some people out. So it was really fun as a coach. I love taking people out in the double because you can feel so much about their stroke length, their power application. You know, it's a whole lesson. You know, they benefit from rowing behind somebody who's more experienced. You benefit because as a stroke, you can feel everything that's going on behind you. So it was kind of a little shift to the fall season. We shifted sessions a little later in the morning. And, I think that that's, you know, in coaching, keeping it interesting, doing different things. And we did lots of drills this week and lots of drills working on the entry. That was kind of my theme this week.
Fantastic. So I have also been working on some local things for Masters. Two things there. We are rescheduling the Masters National Championships in New Zealand to the 29th to the 31st of October. It's going to be in Ruatanifa in the South Island. This is subject to whether or not they can run a regatta at level two, and that is still under discussion, but it is highly likely that it'll go ahead. The biggest challenge is whether or not people from the Auckland area who are in level three lockdown can travel to join. But they're going to do their utmost to make that happen. But in other news, the National Rowing Championship, so not the Masters event, the young youth event, is changing its format and is going to include some sprint events on the finals days. Ooh. And they are introducing a 500-meter sprint event in doubles for men's and women's Masters.
Cool. That's awesome. That's fun.
It's going to be handicapped, so I'm guessing it's handicapped by age, with sort of time delays. But I'm going to put my entry in right away.
You're such an animal. Like, you know what I think they should do? They should run it like the Gold Rush Regatta in Sacramento, where you all start your handicap. You have your handicap from the beginning and you start at a staggered start. And if the handicap is perfect, everybody finishes at the same time.
Perfect. Yeah. If they get the handicap right.
Yeah. If you get the handicap right, that would be fun.
That's a head race.
Well, no. In Gold Rush in Sacramento, which is in May, it's a 1K race. But they start people according, they determine what their handicap is, and they start them ahead. So if your handicap is correct, you're going to finish it. You're going to finish at the same time. Unfortunately, here in New England, the Green Mountain Head, which is in Putney, Vermont, on October 3rd, which is a beautiful turning race, head race, has been canceled due to COVID. So that's a little bit of a bummer. But Head of the Charles is still on.
Yeah.
We do have Faster Masters who are in the singles in Head of the Charles. So we'll keep people updated on that.
And one of our British members told us they got third in their age category at the Sculler's Head of the River in London, which was last weekend. So that was nice to hear. And they had an amazing race. I think it was just glorious flat water and sunny. And they moved that race from later in the year. It used to be in December, and they moved it to September. And I think the weather is just a lot more stable.
Oh, yes. Time. Much nicer daylight. Like, daylight is good, right?
Well, the daylight depends on the tide, Marlene, in London. So it's not usually dark. Now, I want to show you my lovely photograph for the day. This is Donato Zaninovic, who sent us a photo of their coastal quad. Isn't that gorgeous?
Where are they?
Don't know where it is.
In what country? Croatia, maybe.
Or Poland, possibly. I think if you're called Tomislav Zaninovic. Don't know.
No, Vic is usually Croatian, but it could be. So it's a Balkan ending. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, they have to let us know. That looks like the coastal quad looks like a lot of fun.
You know what I
did this week? I did a lap the lake on my lake, which was 22K. So
for the fun of it.
Yeah, we went out. I was out in the double with my doubles partner, and some other people from the club came up and said, we're gonna do a lap. And it was perfect, dead flat, sunny. So I'm like, we'll do it. Let's just do it. So we just did it.
Fantastic. When you go out with your beginners in a double, do you put pontoon floats on the boat?
In the past I have, but recently I haven't, just because those people, from where my double is, the wind can be a little bit tricky. So if the wind looks tricky, I can put them on. But in this particular week, I didn't, because we had really good water and they row regular singles. So I didn't. But I do have the capability to pop on pontoons if I need them.
Our big topic for the week is efficiency in your rowing life. In fact, we're going to declare this is a two-parter because we're going to do efficiency in your rowing stroke as a separate episode. Now, we're going to cover off quite a lot of different things. And as you're listening, if you hear something that you think is a good tip, just type the word nugget into the chat below the live stream when you're watching, and then we'll know when we're hitting the mark with good advice. So efficiency is a topic that I chose because it's really about the fact that we have busy lives and we do a ton of other things, not just rowing, much as we'd love to spend more time rowing. And so it struck me that there are probably some really great life hacks out there that we can bring to the fore and share with each other that will help us get the most out of our rowing life. So kicking off, first big topic, getting to the boathouse.
Yeah, like what do you do to get, what do you do between when you put your feet on the floor getting out of bed to the time you get to the boathouse?
And I disagree. It's the night before. You got to start before you go to bed.
No, you're right. You're right. I think you're absolutely right. And I would say, you know, first of all, I know for me, I have mornings when I need to be at the boathouse early, and I have mornings when I don't need to be and I can be home. And I actually have two different morning routine. My morning routine is similar, but a little bit different for the days when I have to row, because you also have to think about like your rowing clothes, what's the weather, how much time do you need before you actually get in the car to go to the boathouse? And if you're somebody who needs to fuel up, which I definitely do, I need 90 minutes from the time I get up to the time I leave my house. I need 90 minutes. And, you know, I don't like to rush. I need to like have a little bit of peace in the morning. I don't like to get up and feel like, oh, I've got to rush to the boathouse, because why do I have to rush? Just create a little bit of space. You know, I have to make sure that I eat the things that I normally eat so that I have energy for coaching or for training. And, you know, I just find that, you know, I have a certain routine. Like, you know, I lay my clothes out at night, the night before, based on the weather. And I don't want to think about that too much in the morning, because I know what the general temperature is, what I need to wear. And, you know, if I need my fresh ground coffee, I like to do it in the morning. If I have an hour and a half, I can grind it in the morning. But if I feel like I'm pressed on time, I'll do it the night before and use it in the morning. But I think you have to kind of plan out your routine in terms of like what you need to eat, what you need to drink. How much time do you need in the house to get ready before you need to leave for the boathouse? And whatever your routine is for that, you know, like create a routine so that you don't, because you just can't think all the time. Like I find until I eat something, my brain's not really turned on. So having a routine, making, you know, you can make oats the night before, you can make overnight oats, you can have eggs ready to eat, you can, you know, it depends what you like to eat in the morning before you row, but you should eat something.
Good points. So any nuggets so far from our listeners? But I'm going to add to Marlene's getting to the boathouse is my night before routine. So in addition to getting your clothes out, I do a weather check. We have a couple of really good wind apps. Windfinder is one where we can see the incoming weather fronts, and weather moves quite quickly over our part of the country, and we can see the wind direction, and then we'll know whether or not there's going to be a wind shadow at our lake. We're fortunate that it has quite high sides, and so there's frequently a wind shadow. Then I check the training plan, so I actually know what's on the program. I used to have a coach who'd growl at us. You'd like be standing there in a circle and he'd just pick on someone and go, right, Marlene, what's on the program today? And we're like, oh, did he forget? I was like, no, he wants to know that you know.
Exactly. Like, did you even look at it?
Did you even look at it? Or are you just turning up and expecting someone to say? Right. And then the third thing I do is, particularly if the weather forecast is a bit dodgy, is we'll often message the crew and come to an agreement about what we think is likely to happen in the morning and whether we should allow extra time or remember to bring your gym shoes because we'll go on the ergs instead or whatever. And we have a mantra because although some of us live reasonably close to the boathouse, actually the weather can be really different. The wind can be different at my house because I can look out the window and go, well, you know, the trees are, they're barely moving. There's no wind. And then you get to the boathouse and you find that it's different. And so we have a mantra, which is decide in the shed, not in bed.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. And I think that's absolutely, absolutely a good way to go. And like the night before, if I have a coaching session, the same thing, I use Windfinder or I use the app Windy. And for our lake, it's absolutely based. There's only one direction wind, north, northwest, that is going to give us bad water. All other wind, no matter how high it is, we're in protected water. Like today we had 20K southeast, we had dead flat water. So if the wind direction is bad and it looks questionable, sometimes I'll call it off because it really doesn't look
it
looks bad. But I think keeping an eye on the weather, I prepare the boatings. I have a board. So I prepare my board for the different sessions and who's in which boat so that I know, you know, I can walk out the door with that and they get the boatings when we get to the boathouse. But being prepared for your clothes, your equipment, absolutely key.
So now you've got to the boathouse. And someone's asking, Windy, what was the name of the app? The app is called Windfinder, or the one that I use, but there are
two. Yeah, right. There's one is Windfinder.
And then there's Wind Guru.
And then there's Windy. This one is Windy, which is the one when Gwyn Batten was teaching the FISA coastal course. This is the app that they use for coastal racing.
It's basically, they're all sailing apps.
Yeah.
Thank you for seeking clarification on that. Now, you've got to the boathouse. You've got to get the equipment out. What's your routine here, Marlene?
Well, my group rows only singles. So we have a rule that two people carry a boat out of the boathouse. So the first thing we do is like help each other with your oars. Get your oars down, and then people help each other with their boat. Two people take the boat out. The person whose boat it is gets in their boat and goes. The next person helps the next person bring their boat out. That person gets in their boat. The next person goes. So we try to keep the line moving so that you know, somebody doesn't put their boat on the water and then leave it and go get the other boat. And like, because we don't have a dock and we don't want their boat floating away. So we try to like one person get in and go, the next person come and help them. But, you know, sometimes when they're novices, they forget to bring their oars first. And I'm like, your boat is there, but where? Oh, I have to go back and get my oars. So then you have to remind them, you know, bring your oars and your PFD first, put them here, then bring your boat so that you can see your boat and get your oars. So, so we do it that way. We try to have everybody help each other so they get out quickly. And then the last person to go closes the gate to the boathouse and they get on the water. With a team boat, you need maybe, you can do it. You need to team up a little bit more to carry the oars and who holds the boat, et cetera. So I think you have some good routines for that.
Yeah, we have a pretty similar thing. Oars and PFDs first. Someone has to sign us out in the signing out book. We have a physical book that we sign out. It does help that when we get the crew lineup sent around the night before, we are told which sets of oars and which boats we're in. So that's really, really useful. So that, you know, you know that you're getting the right equipment out for who's coming down to row. Definitely help each other. When we're in a crew boat, whether it's Windy or not, but particularly if you're in an eight or a quad, we work in pairs. So if you're stern pair or bow pair, one of you holds the boat and the other one goes and gets the oars and the PFDs and brings them back to the boat. So there's no chance of the boat drifting away from the pontoon. The person who's holding the boat quite often will like go and open the gates so that when the oar person comes, they can just slot them straight in. And, you know, if you have to adjust your foot stretcher, some people know that they, where their foot stretcher goes, if they're a regular in that boat. So they'll often loosen the nuts for adjusting their stretcher. I will say there is one thing that annoys me more than anything else is someone who only focuses on themselves and their own needs. And they don't look around and notice that they could be assisting other people in the crew. Then again, getting into the boat, when it's an eight or a quad, you know, some people, you like the whole crew puts one foot in and you stand up and you push the boat off from the dock standing up. Others have an agreement that you get into the boat first and you know, adjust in the boat. For us, our dock is long enough to have three quads end to end. But if there are more crews than that, particularly you can only get actually three, you can only get about four doubles out on it because of the overlap. So actually what we'll quite often do is we'll all get in the boat and then push off and do the adjustment out on the water. So it frees up the edge of the dock, the pontoon for everyone else. But things like if you're in a sweep boat, the side that their oars are out on the water side rather than the dock side, they should get in first so that they can push their oars out and provide some stability.
Yes, that's always there have been great events when that has not happened.
So. Yeah, yeah. No one enjoys that. So, you know, some consideration around the other people who are trying to get out and have their own practice. So little things like when you're putting your boat on the water, after a while, you will typically know in your group who are the people who are really quick and who are the slow people. This is not a matter of respect or skill or anything. It's just a fact that some people are like a Formula One pit crew and they're like bang, 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 gone. Right. And other people just take a little more time. And so if you're bringing your boat out in the water and you see who else is on the pontoon and you know that there's someone in that crew who's likely to need a little bit more time, don't hinder yourself by putting your boat overlapping with theirs with your stern closer to the bank. Try and put your stern on the water side of theirs so that you can push off and get away and you don't need to disrupt them. You don't even need to say to them, hey, can you walk your boat down a little bit? You know, we're overlapping.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think just like you said, as coaches, we're constantly scanning, okay? We're scanning, are the oar locks in the right position? Does anyone have their oar lock turned around towards the bow instead of their oar lock pointing towards the stern? Did people, you know, sometimes people, when they're rowing club boats, they forget that you need to adjust your foot stretchers. You need to adjust your washers to make sure your oar lock height is correct. And these are really simple, quick adjustments that ensure that you're going to have a row that's much more comfortable. But sometimes when people are new, they forget and they go out in the boat where the foot stretchers are and they find out that, oh my gosh, they've got too much room at the release, or they're really crowded, or the oar locks are too high, or whatever. And you know, you have to remind, you know, I encourage the scholars to remind each other, did you check your foot stretchers? Did you check your oar lock height? Make sure that you're comfortable before you leave the shore so that you're going to have a good outing and have a good lesson. But teaching people to scan for oar locks turned around backwards. Like what if, for example, the water on our lake is low right now because we haven't had very much rain. So typically we put the boats out one direction, bow first. Yeah. But now we have to, when we put them on the, we have to spin them around and put them out with the stern the opposite direction because the water's deeper. And then people forget and they put their oar locks the same way because they're used to the way their oar locks are going. So little things, teaching people to watch out for one another and help, really makes things go smoother, you know, when people are launching.
Absolutely does. And it's a really great discipline anyway for safety, you know, as well as, you know, collaboration and mutual support. Now moving on to your actual workout. During the training, warming up and warming down, where are the efficiencies, Marlene, that we can find in our practice so that we can maximize the amount of time on the water? So one of the things, when if people are using the Faster Masters training plan, any of our training plans are designed to be completed within 1 hour on the water, on the water. Now, that does not include weekends, because most people have a little bit more time at weekends, but they're not really long training sessions. But they are not also not designed for you to hang around and chatter, 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 you know?
Yeah, you can't do that, right?
So what are your efficiency tips for the training elements?
Well, I mean, first of all, if you're a person who needs a little bit more warm up, and there are those people who do a little bit of extra warm up on land, you know, get to the boathouse a little bit early, row 5 or 10 minutes on the erg, do a little bit of dynamic mobility. If you need a little bit more time to get moving, add some extra time on the shore before you start launching. I think that's one thing, and that's an individual thing. When you get in the boat, obviously, if you're in a class, your coach may have a set warm-up that might take 5 or 10 minutes. If you're waiting for other people, I'm always encouraging people to do like, just keep the blades in the water, push, pull, just start moving, do some placement drills. You know, if you're waiting for other people to come to join, don't just sit there, you know, do some easy motions, get moving. If you're in a crew, have a set warm up. You know, if you have your go-to 10-minute warm up, that as soon as we're on the water, we start stern four does this, bow four does this, or, you know, whatever your pattern is, know what that is. Again, it's just like your morning routine. Have a really set practice routine for warming up that you know takes 8 minutes or you know takes 10 minutes. And then you move into the core body of the workout.
Mm. I think that's really handy, because then there's kind of no argument, no discussion. It's the discussion that often is the thing that actually eats into your time.
Yeah.
And although there are, you know, I think there are different approaches to different sorts of workouts. If you're doing a steady state workout where you've got, you know, 45 minutes to an hour of steady paddling to do, you might decide that, you know, you're going to have two short breaks for a drink. And, mm-hmm. you know, the first break will be after the warm up, so you can take your top off and, you know, get to the right sort of layering you need for the weather. And the second one will be, you know, maybe halfway through the workout. But at that point, you say, we will, you know, agree that that's when we will talk about any technical changes we think are needed. But while we're rowing, it's the person who's doing the calls whose job it is to bring our focus onto particular technique things that we feel that we need. So therefore, discussion is not an option except when the boat's stationary. And that kind of sets a little guideline of rules that helps everyone to have their expectations managed.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. And I have to say that one of my pet peeves is talking in the boat. It's just, you know, I learned to row in a culture where nobody talked in the boat except the coxswain. And as you said, when we stopped or the coach had a question, then you maybe asked your question or you asked for explanation. But when you are in progress, absolutely not. So, you know, sometimes there's not always such a strict culture in various clubs about what goes on in master's boats. And I think this is one of the things we've talked about in the past, that there is a certain etiquette to pay attention. And it's important to hear what the coxswain is instructing. Otherwise, you're going, or the coach is instructing. If you're busy having a stroke sitting in the foreseat, then it's quite likely that you're going to miss some important element. And what you do in practice is going to reflect in how you race. So I think it's important to have rules or have an understanding of what the etiquette is when you are on the water, particularly when you're in big boats, because everybody's got an opinion, we know, in rowing, and those opinions are valuable, but we just have to decide when it's appropriate to express them and when it's better, like, let's wait and complete this and then we'll have the discussion at, you know, this time.
Yeah. Similarly, warming down is often the bit that gets cut off in people's workouts for masters, particularly when they're time pressed and you know you have to get off the water because someone is on a time clock. We have a rule of thumb that we know that from rowing from the hospital back to the pontoon, that's the warm down, you know, and so it's not particularly long. It could be longer. There are lots of things that we could do better, but have that sort of built into your outing plan so that you know what you're going to do and when you warm down so that you approach the dock at the correct speed for the wind direction and the wind speed so that, you know, you're not trying to come in at 100 miles an hour and risk damaging the boat or a person.
Yes, and cooling down is, we've talked about this in the past on the podcast. I mean, there are different phases to a workout. Cooling down is a phase to your workout. I mean, you don't want to go from a hard piece to abruptly stopping and jumping out of the boat and jumping in your car. It's simply like not good for your body and your circulatory system to do this. So you do need at least 5 minutes. If you have a longer period of time, it's often good. Like in elite racing, you know, after a hard 2K race, you know, they may paddle 40 minutes or 60 minutes just to clear the lactic acid for recovery. Now, we don't always have that time on a daily basis, but a 5 minute cool down, a 6 minute cool down, making it a habit is important. Even if you, that it's not a long period of time. When you have more time, you can do more, but you do have to bring your heart rate down and calm your system down after doing hard work. And people skip stretching always. The first thing to go out the window is stretching. My proposal is do not skip stretching. Get out of the boat. If you have one area that's tight, maybe it's your hamstrings, maybe it's your back, maybe it's your shoulder, maybe it's your forearms, just pay attention to how you feel. If one area is tight, just do a stretch for that one area, like focus on the priority area. You can stretch for 1 minute or 2 minutes and just relieve some of that tension. But again, you create the habit. And you shouldn't skip it, because when you jump out of the boat and you jump into your car, it's the worst thing for your recovery, because all your rowing muscles are in flexion.
Yeah. So I often stretch while we're doing the debrief. So when we're standing around doing the debrief after the outing. Yes. Yeah.
Multitask and just, but it doesn't have to be this big overwhelming thing. This can take 2 or 3 minutes, and it's the consistency of the day-to-day practice of the maintenance that's important. Pay attention to how you're feeling. My lower back's a little bit tight. Maybe it's my hamstrings today, something. Address the priority area. And then when you have more time, maybe at home you're watching the news at night, you can sit down on the floor and do a little bit, 15, 20 minutes of stretching in the evening or something, just to relax. But right after the row, just pay attention to what needs it the most.
Good ideas. And the last area that we wanted to cover on our efficiency is meal preparation. So we know we need to fuel. Marlene touched a little bit on this in her getting up and getting out of bed and getting to the boathouse area. But what else do you do for meal prep that can streamline the time available for rowing?
Well, first of all, I think if you look at Whole Foods and you have snack packs available, okay, things that are portable foods that are good for you. So like you can make little bags of trail mix. You can boil little white potatoes and keep them in a lunchbox with you. I mean, actually, little white potatoes are as good as energy bars are and a lot less expensive and have lots of good things in them. But think about Whole Foods. If you like to use energy bars, if you like to carry containers of yogurt, I think it's important that you always have some food with you in your gym bag or with you in your car so that you can eat good snacks and you're not skipping fueling or refueling right after a practice. For breakfast, depending on what you like to eat, you can make overnight oats. You can, if you like to eat eggs in the morning, you can boil eggs the night before and have them ready, or you can have eggs in your little pan and boil them first thing you get up and they're ready before you have your coffee. You know, if you like just toast and peanut butter, just have things that are handy and ready. And, you know, if you're home in the, you know, slow cookers are a great way to cook really good meals that you can prepare the night before. You can do the prep, throw everything in the slow cooker in the morning, and then you have a nice chili or soup or something when you come home in the evening. Because in the evening, you're tired. You know, sometimes people don't really feel like, you know, sometimes they relax by cooking in the evening, but sometimes it's a hassle. So, you know, I think looking at whole foods, what, you know, whole foods require less preparation. Like, what do you have to do to an avocado, right? You wash it and you cut it open.
You don't even need to wash it. Just wash the knife. It's got a skin. You're not going to eat the skin.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, your avocados, your bananas, almonds, nuts, you know, things that are whole foods are A, the best for you. You know, you want the fiber. Your digestive system needs fiber. Fiber is what drives your immune system. So, you know, things that are natural foods, your bananas, you know. So, you know, think about things that don't require any preparation that you like, that you can have with you. You know, I think that's, you need that as your go-to foods. And then when you have a little bit more time at home, you know, you can prep your salads and things like that.
I like to cook double quantities. So like I'll make a giant lasagna, half for one meal and half for another meal. So for the other meal, it can either go in the freezer or it can just sit in the fridge and a couple of nights later, you don't have to cook. You just put it in the oven.
Absolutely. I mean, always do double or triple batches for sure. If you have a cooking day on Sunday, you have a little bit more time at home and you make your soup or you make, you know, maybe you make a big pot of brown rice with some spices and then you can have it during the week. Lots of things you can freeze and warm them up. And it's very, you know, it's a lot less expensive often to do that. And plus you don't have the added sodium and additives. And I'm into my bread baking phase again.
Good. That's good. I also have another tip, which I do. Sometimes I'll make a stew you like with things like lamb shanks or something in a slow cooker, like you described. And we'll eat the meat and a bit of the vegetables for the meal. And then you have this really nice rich stock that's left behind, which often has vegetables in it. And I'll often bag that up as soup for my lunch on subsequent days. So even though, you know, it'll taste a little bit of meat, there may not be any meat in it. Right. And that works really nicely for lunches.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you can take the same bouillon broth and then in the slow cooker, put some brown rice or some other grain in there and cook that in there.
Tasty rice. Yeah.
But, you know, looking at if you are someone who eats meat, you know, taking the bones and making the bone broth, lots of minerals and vitamins there and at absolutely no extra cost because you already have it. But slow cookers are a lifesaver as far as I'm concerned for, especially if you have a big family. You know, a lot of people, if they have a big family,
they eat a lot.
Yeah, they eat a lot. And, you know, if you want to watch what the costs are and the spending, you can make really healthy, you know, things with beans, chilies, soups.
Lots of efficiencies that we've covered. So I hope that that's helped you with some ideas for efficiency in your rowing life. Please share your own if you've got some that we haven't looked into.
Definitely.
Managed to stop myself without meaning to.
We're glad you're back. You're back. Well, it's okay.
Slip of the finger, as they say. So this has been Faster Masters Rowing Radio, the show dedicated to masters athletes who want fun, fitness, and confidence in their rowing. You can become a student of the sport by buying a Faster Masters Rowing program subscription today at fastermastersrowing.com/join. Faster Masters is part of the Rowing Chat Network. You can get email notifications of all of our new shows joining the mailing list at rowing.chat or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're in pretty much every podcast app. Till next time. Bye-bye.
So long.